You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Amy Morgan, and XV.
This is Radio Free Cybertron. I am your host, Brian Kilby, back from a long absence. With me this week, I have Rob Springer, XV, John DeLuna, and Lady Wreck, no Bweebum or JD this week. I don't know where they are. I don't know how anyone can miss this. But today, if you're curious, is September 22nd, 2010. It's the future.
The day all the awesome happened.
Yeah, we'll see if we actually have a topic this week, because there's so much news. So the Transformers Collectors Club magazine is shipping, and John, who's like half an hour away from HQ, doesn't have his copy yet.
What's up?
Yeah, I know.
What is up?
I hate to say it. No offense to the Collectors Club. My membership expired last month, and I didn't know.
So I love that.
Yeah, so it's like, wait, I can't wait to get mine. So I checked. Oh wait, I'm no longer a member. I need to renew.
Spoilers.
Yeah, I need to renew. But lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of crap in this. So let's go ahead and get to it. So XV, you're the one who's the happiest about this, I think. What's the big thing for you?
There's two really important things that came out of this magazine. The first we got to see yesterday, which was Generations Deluxe Wreck-Gar.
Ooh.
Huh.
Which is just... Okay, I mean, the day before that, I think, there was a listing posted from Walmart's computers mentioning a Generations Wreck-Gar. Who would have thought the next day we'd get an official picture
of
it?
Yeah, I know, it's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the most awesome thing.
What do you really think?
That's okay.
So, everyone seems to be drooling over this. What makes this Wreck-Gar so awesome?
Well, he can ride himself.
Your mom can ride herself.
It's a factual statement.
Thanks, Rob.
You're welcome.
So, is this an automatic buy two, or buy three, one to keep loose? I mean, two to keep loose, and one to ride each other, and one to keep on card? Is that what we're doing?
If they don't announce a similar Junkion recolor remold,
yeah,
then yeah, buy two Wreck-Gar and have one ride the other. If it's in vehicle mode, you don't know that it's another Wreck-Gar.
True.
That's a good point. They're going to have to do a second Junkion, right?
I can't imagine obvious. They would.
Yeah, like a troop builder type thing.
And there's several official Junkion names that they could try to pull from. One of them is Junkyard, which, of course, they have trademarked for G.I. Joe,
yeah.
What I knew. So, I mean, that would be a good possibility right there.
Hey, Slicer was Slice.
Yeah.
The other one they could possibly use is Nancy, but, you know.
Excellent.
Okay, the other thing, which I think really was kind of left field, coming from the magazine scan, or magazine today, I didn't say that, is the Generations Deluxe Generation 2 Laser Rod inspired Optimus Prime.
Yeah, I'm like, what the blank?
Like, how did they slip that past us for so long?
Yeah. And why aren't they calling this Generations 2?
The only thing that really disappoints me about this is that we basically know ahead of time it's not going to have a Generation 2 Autobot symbol on it.
Eh, I live.
I might not.
I really liked the Generation 2 symbols.
Now, yeah. That's in, like, public domain now, or what is it with that?
I don't know. They're on the club exclusives this year.
Yeah, I don't know. Part of the problem, of course, is that they're worried about, like, brand confusion. You know, for me, I think the connection to the G2 symbols is because G2 was my first exposure to Transformers. In any meaningful way.
Yeah, and any Transformer, you know, that comes after, you kind of want it to wear a wig or, you know, walk like or, you know, smell like, you know, Generation 2. So
right.
That you can try to love it just as much as you did G2. But those memories are gone. You'll never have those days again.
I know. It'll never be quite the same as that time.
Wow.
What were we talking about again?
I don't know.
Impressing.
Okay. I'm really happy about this Optimus Prime because finally there is a new deluxe Optimus Prime mold that they can reuse to death instead of the Ultimate Battle one.
Yeah.
Because as nice as robot mode as it was, the vehicle sucked and the thing's just getting tired by now.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is not stopping Takara from pumping out another version of it with their Generations adaptations.
I'm impressed. I honestly figured that was going to be at some sort of Walmart exclusive or something.
Amazing. What, the Deluxe Prime?
Yeah. It's like, it shows up in these listings. Okay, there's going to be a gift set like Bumblebee and Prime, best friends forever. I like being wrong about it, though.
That's the one thing so far that we don't really have any idea about. There was the Bumblebee in the Walmart listing, and so far there's been no sign of what that might actually be.
Well, judging by Zobovore's findings in the system and that ATT post, he did say that the assortment was mixed up for Hunt for the Decepticons and Generations.
Yeah, so it might be a movie Bumblebee.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's kind of hard to fathom them being putting out another Bumblebee toy or anything, but I mean, weirder things have happened, you know.
Yeah.
He might be like Cap Pink Highlights this time.
Ooh, yeah, Barricade 64 in the chat just suggested that Deluxe Prime could be redone as Toxitron.
I would love that.
Ooh, yes. Nice.
It'll never happen, yes. But it's a nice dream.
Yeah, looks like we're getting another damn Black Convoy.
Yeah, another Scourge.
Dude, I love Black Convoy.
You know, that's the thing. Scourge's colors, you know, he's mostly gray, and he's got that nice teal on him. It's not like what the Black Optimus recolors turned into over the years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be seeing that again.
No, Black Convoy / Scourge is gorgeous. Great toy. Beautiful hit.
Yeah.
We just missed a total obvious repaint that'll probably cost way too much at BotCon. The Laser Ultra Magnus.
I was thinking of that, too.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I can do with that. I got my Classics Magnus and City Commander set, so, I mean, I'm pretty set as far as Ultra Magnus is. Ultra Magnus.
Ultra Magi for Christmas. Yeah. Yeah, that would be, that's actually a toy that I skipped out on that I wish I had picked up. That, Laser Rod Magnus that came out. That it didn't look bad. They're uglier.
Well, no, I mean, they tried to adapt the armor colors onto the toy instead of just doing a straight white Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's part of what made the Laser Ultra Magnus so nice.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah, it wasn't just Honkimus Prime.
Honkimus Prime.
Optimus Blanco.
So we've referenced Optimus as well as
Retgar.
So moving to some of the others, Cliffjumper, he's going to be
Cliffjumper, yeah.
War for Cybertron. He's nice looking.
Very.
That's okay.
I like his head.
Mm-hmm. I understand that War for Cybertron Bumblebee's head is I think it's possible to transplant between the Classics toy and the War for Cybertron toy.
Oh, really?
So, if that's still the case with Cliffjumper, you might be seeing some of those bought just for custom jobs.
Yeah, well, I could take that. No, the Classics Cliffjumper head is it the Classics or is it the animated Cliffjumper?
Cliffjumper had the remold. Classics is just a straight recolor.
Then I will get two of these Cliffjumpers and replace the head on my Classics Cliffjumper.
I wonder how many people are going to rush to buy the Takara version without saying, oh wait, that obviously is coming out here in Generations.
Well, fortunately, there was a delay of about 5 hours between seeing the Takara version and the Hasbro version.
Okay, I didn't see the Hasbro
version. Head that off a little bit.
Okay, I didn't see the Hasbro version at all, so that's good to know that some thinking still exists. Somebody like, hey, that mold has a different head. I wonder if that's intentional.
Let's see, also with different heads, we saw a picture of Skullgrin for the first time.
Yeah, Skullgrin was great.
Awesome.
You know, I still can't find my Dark Mount. I looked in like 4 states over the weekend.
I found 4 Red Alert states. People.
I saw Red Alert. I saw Red Alert like last week, but I skipped on it.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I'm like, oh, well, I will find this later. I don't care.
You will find it later. It's just going to take a little bit longer for this to hit saturation.
Because of the 1,000 thrusts out there.
Well, I mean, I saw thrust, and the first time I saw thrust, I jumped on it. Because this is coming out. It's going to be limited. I will never be able to find another.
Well, by the time Christmas rolls around, you probably won't find another thrust.
Good.
That's my guess, anyway. It could take a turn for the worse. You never know.
Yeah, I came across Megatron, Soundwave, and Red Alert.
But no Dark Mount.
Okay,
in the case assortment that has Red Alert and Soundwave in it, there's only one each of Megatron and Dark Mount.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just got there a little too late is all.
Yeah. I may hit up Toys R Us this weekend. If Triplet's listening, that is an invitation.
Well, if you don't want to wait, the Transformers Collectors Club has a lot of current toys up for sale now, including some that have not hit stores yet.
Really?
Including the Blur remold of Drift.
Seriously?
Apparently so. I mean, I'm not a club member, so there wasn't really any point.
I'm not a club member at the moment. I mean, neither
am I. I didn't even look.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got some of the so-called Hunt for the Decepticon stuff. It's really just the, you know, unbranded Transformers line. Just the movie follow-up stuff.
Mm. Okay.
You know, they got a few of the new toys on there. They had the recolor 5-pack Power Core Combiners, too, but those sold out already.
Which ones?
But I heard. The recolors of... No, it was the 2-packs, not the 5-packs. It was the Darkstream and... What's the other one? Darkstream and the one that I can't remember. I think it's the Searchlight recolor.
Ah. Yeah, I can live without another Searchlight.
Searchlight's nice enough. I'm not really that into it, you know.
I like...
It's a different helicopter vehicle mode, which I appreciate so much.
Well, I like the fact that he's like the same color as G1 Searchlight. But I don't like that you can't, like, pull him back and he go across the tabletop. I would prefer.
You know what would be great for that Searchlight? If he was, like, a Rotor Force toy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. They need to bring that back.
Yes, they do.
Especially if they're going to start doing G2 stuff in Generations, which I'm totally assuming based on one toy.
Dude, what are the chances? This is just speculation. But this would make me... If Hasbro, I know you're listening... Because you have a file on me. seriously, you need to take that Sideswipe mold, and you need to paint it black.
Oh, of course.
Paint it black.
And you know it is entirely possible paint because there's precedent for getting a customizing class toy as you know a retail release toy.
Yeah.
So that's a subliminal message, right?
Paint it
right,
black.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Black.
Paint it black.
Interrupt you guys there, but yeah, that's great.
So no, that makes me so happy.
It's a threat. Sorry.
Yeah, it makes me so happy. So happy.
I can paint blue. Paint it blue.
So the Skull Grin looks really nice. I really want it.
Oh yeah, I forgot we were talking about that before we sidetracked.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that Skull Grin was a repaint of Dark Mount, so I asked XV, is it an homage to the Pretender or the vehicle? And he's like, both. I'm like, oh. So, yeah.
Yeah, the Pretender redos are generally kind of a mix of both.
Yeah.
Of course, it doesn't hurt that Skullgrin's colors were the same for Pretender, Shell, and Robot. And look really boring adapted onto the Dark Mount mold.
It doesn't look bad. I like the head.
It needs something to break up all that gray that's on there.
Doing pre-show, I was talking to XV... And we were looking at Thunderwing, and my brain didn't go to Thunderwing first because I never really thought about this. Like, is that Tigerhawk? Then I saw the Decepticons, and I'm like, oh no, that's Thunderwing.
But you know, since he mentioned it, it could totally work.
Yes, I would love to see this. Like, it's not really a repaint. It would just be like a remold of the head and change the tampoed Decepticon symbol to a cyber to a Maximal. And that would be pretty sweet, to be honest.
If they're listening.
Yeah, which they are. So,
If anything, it would make a good exclusive somewhere that nobody cared about.
Yeah. Brian Savage, if you're listening.
Hello.
Well, everybody cares about that, though.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
In the Club magazine, we also got to see, for the first time, the right side of the Scourge vehicle mode.
Ah, yeah, yeah. They showed that. They showed that at BotCon, though, on the.
In the previous publicly available pictures, which were from that Chinese Transformers.
I didn't even see that. I just saw it at BotCon, and I want it so bad.
At least this time, the vehicle mode is right side up.
It's like being a kid and looking at the JCPenney catalog. That's what I looked at. I didn't look at the Sears catalog as a kid.
And at least for me, it's the first time I see the non-transforming fracas guns.
Yeah, there's just so much good this week. It's just, I love it.
I know, we're kind of...
Yeah, are you ashamed at all that this is all like a pure nostalgia play?
No.
You know, I've pondered that in recent times, and I cannot feel bad that I'm digging all of this G1 rehashing.
Yeah,
the toys are just so nice.
Yes,
exactly.
Nice toys are nice toys. I love Power Core Combiners. Love Power Core Combiners. Nothing will ever take that away. But darn, these are nice looking toys.
These are nice looking toys. I reviewed Dark Mount, 2 weeks ago, I think? And the engineering on Dark Mount is just so impressive to me.
I mean, Drift is one of the absolute most brilliant toys I have ever owned.
Yeah, it is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean,
they're hitting it out of the park almost every time with Generation.
This is the best time ever to be a trans fan. This time we mean it. It's not because of this. I mean, this is part of it. But I mean, Hasbro is focusing so much crap on the Transformers right now. If you're a Transformers fan and you feel down and out because you're not getting what you want, suck it up. This stuff's awesome.
Or suck it up because next year you probably will get what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't say that. The bar's still going to be there. Oh, what is this crap?
Every year they're setting a little bit higher pace for this stuff. And we're benefiting from increasingly excellent toys.
Yeah, it's
if you compare any two items from Generations to anything from Universe... It's on a totally different level this year.
Oh, yeah.
What else?
I mean, with Universe, for the most part, most of the Universe stuff is repaints anyway. Mm. There are lots and lots and lots of stuff, but still mostly repaints.
Yeah, I'm just the new mold I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, compare Thunderwing to Galvatron.
Actually, I was thinking compare Dark Mount to Galvatron.
Yeah. He pales in either comparison.
Compare any given War for Cybertron toy with Ironhide.
Mm.
Ironhide's not that great of a toy.
And you can transform to War for Cybertron ones.
Yeah.
Except for Bumblebee.
I haven't tried him yet. I just remember getting a blood blister from Ironhide.
Yikes.
I've not even picked up Bumblebee yet. Memories. Yeah.
This is why Generations is better than Universe. Generations has not caused me bodily harm yet.
Give it time.
Wait for it.
There's always that one anxious guy at the Walmart.
Well, that's still not Generations causing me bodily harm. That's just some nut job. Hey, I've had that happen before.
Give me that. Oh my god, what's happening?
Okay,
so stepping us down a little bit from the awesome, let's talk about Japan getting the Generation molds as the Transformers Unite.
You want to come back and talk about the other molds that we haven't mentioned yet?
Oh, have we skipped over some?
We skipped Tracks. We haven't mentioned Tracks. We haven't really mentioned... We mentioned Thunderwing, but...
My bad, we've been talking about this so long I thought we'd covered everything.
No. There's more. My friend, there's more.
Go for it, dude. Go for it.
Trax is really awesome looking.
That's amazing.
I was reading on AllSpark yesterday, and it's totally true that while it would be cool to have the sort of original crazy Firebird sort of looking paint app or sticker really on Trax, this new version is this new. App is it looks like something you might see on a car today. While it does harken back to the classic Tracks, it looks great. It looks really nice. It's not my favorite of the toys that we've seen, but it does look really, really good.
Well, when you come down to it, a lot of times, you know, just a plain old car is going to feel a little bit boring when you're compared to a junkie on motorcycle or Tiger Hawk or what have you.
We have a Legends Trailbreaker, but it looks like they've lost the name and it's Trail Cutter. But oh my God, all the what we saw at BotCon, the Legends toys that we saw that I couldn't tell were Legends when they had them up on the screen, like Megatron. There was an Optimus, wasn't there?
Yeah,
Optimus, yep.
Yeah, BotCon. I mean, looking at those, I'm like, those look fantastic. They're Legends? Oh my God, I can't tell that from just the shot. He looks like maybe a Basic or a Scout class toy.
Yeah, he's passed for a Scout.
Yeah, but he looks great.
Yeah. For most of the last 10 years, they've been trying to find a way to reuse the Trailbreaker name. If you remember, during the first round of Universe, we got a couple of black Ironhide toys, which were originally planned to be Trailbreakers, and they just had to kind of work around it.
We just mentioned Scourge quickly, but it looks fantastic.
I'm really satisfied with the way this looks properly transformed.
And he's not a flying bathtub; he's a flying wing, and that's a really
with the flying bathtub. I mean, it's the wacky retro future thing season 3 had going anyway.
Yeah. We haven't mentioned Generations Perceptor at all. And
I like the vehicle mode. The more I get a better look at it.
Yeah, he has the tank treads and everything.
It's an unique kind of thing that they've done aftermarket mods to make it able to drive through like desert stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And it kind of fits with the on-again, off-again role of Perceptor as a sniper.
And Jazz.
Jazz looks great.
Jazz looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. I don't know that... is Jazz a repaint? Jazz isn't a repaint.
No, Jazz is a new mold.
Because I'm looking at his legs, and I'm getting flashbacks. I'm just trying to, in my head, go back to how his legs transform, and they almost look like they transform like drifts.
They do. They look like they transform similarly, at least on a basic level. But I think that's just to make them look like the Generation 1 toys.
Yeah.
Legs. No, Jazz is a completely new mold.
Jazz looks great. He looks fantastic. I'm completely and utterly excited. I mean, it's you know, you know, when at the end of Beast Machines, when we knew we were getting Robots in Disguise, aka Car Robots,
aka Transformers 2000,
aka crap. People were excited. Oh, we're getting vehicles again. Oh, we're getting characters that are, you know, that we're getting Optimus Prime. We're getting all these characters again. And I was never really excited. It's not G1. It's not the fact that they're vehicles, because we've had vehicles now for the last 10 years, and it makes me feel so damn old.
The fact that these are awesome looking toys.
The fact these are fantastic looking toys.
Yeah.
They all look great, and I am super, super stoked.
I have not really felt this excited animated. Over a series of upcoming Transformers toys since
animated.
Like, the pictures of the classics back in 2006.
Animated for me. I was so utterly stoked when I first saw Animated in Toy Fair or somewhere. I don't remember. But
see, for me, the thing with the Animated toys was an amazement that they could take those animation
Transformers.
Make actual working toys out of them.
Yeah, I mean, Animated had a lot of great toys, but it's not the best, like, Transformers line we've had.
There were limitations because of the styling.
But it was solid. But these, it looks like there are no limitations whatsoever, even though there is the constraint that these are supposed to resemble the classic toys. They do, but they look fantastic. And it's amazing.
They've just outdone themselves with these toys. There's no other way I can say it.
So let's see here. So Japan's getting Generations
as Transformers Unite.
What's up with the name?
I don't know. I don't know. And you know, it's not like Japan doesn't have like 20 or 30 different words that can mean transform. They could have called it like Transformers Henge.
Yeah.
The big difference between Transformers Unite and Henke Henke is that instead of having chrome, these will have shiny paint.
Cool.
Like the animated toys did.
Sweet. It still costs twice as much for us to get.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, I will probably end up picking up that Megatron because I completely skipped out on that toy.
And, well, yeah, and without the gaudy chrome on it, it actually is a pretty nice looking toy again.
Yeah, yeah. I missed it, Hinkay, and I missed the classic, so.
I have to admit, though, I'm kind of sold on the purple, green, and orange of the Hasbro version still.
Me too.
Which, I mean, yeah, I have it, different. So I'm set either way. But
well, I like it, the purple. It's a little more interesting.
That's what I was going to say. It lends some visual interest to the otherwise bland Megatron colors.
I like the purple because it looked like the Action Master Megatron.
There you go.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mentioned this in passing earlier. They're also dusting off the deluxe classic Optimus Prime mold again to use in Transformers Unite. Yeah, I know. And, okay, you know, every use of that mold has had the upper arms and part of the torso made of an unpaintable plastic. And several times they've shown, like, an Autobot symbol tampograph or whatever on there, which has had to be moved for the production piece.
Rob, why do they call it tampographed? Rob's Rob's mom is wanting to know why the word tampo sounds like tampon.
I actually watched a very informative video about that once upon a time.
Really?
Yeah. It's on powit.tv.
Ah.
I'll get the link out later. We can put it in the show notes or something. It's very interesting to watch, actually.
I would rather them release the larger Optimus. What was it? Was it Voyager?
Yeah. But no, the thing about this is that the Takara pictures are showing somewhat involved paint applications on this on the parts that are non-paintable plastic.
What do you think the retail on this will be?
Way the hell too much.
Yeah. I mean, I can still go to Big Lots and get this for $20.
With a Megatron.
With a Megatron.
Right. And if you were at Marshall's or Ross or TJ Maxx or whatever other branding there is for that chain at the right time, you could get one for like $8, the Universe Special Edition.
Did I mention that I had been looking, I completely missed out on animated Retgar, and after like a year and a half of looking, I ended up finding two of them at a Ross a couple weeks ago.
For like $12.
$12 each. That made me so happy. So very happy.
And now there's a completely superior Retgar coming out.
Hey, you know, I'm an animated completist, at least mold wise, and that makes it so that I have every single. Well, I never picked up Sentinel. Picked up Sentinel Prime because I'm an idiot. But he is still at my local Walmart. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So I need to do that.
For what it's worth, he's one of the worst ones.
Yeah, I know. That's the reason I've held off.
It's worth having, though.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you know, you can pop his head off and set the headmaster piece on his shoulder. And the deluxe Optimus Prime toy can carry around Sentinel's head. It's perfect.
Now, in the show notes, XV has very obviously made the point that he doesn't care about the repaint of Armada Unicron as G1 Unicron. But darn it, I want it. It's on my list.
Same here.
It's on my to-buy list this year.
Haas, to me, it's still just another Armada Unicron, and Armada Unicron was more interesting looking. And Energon Unicron was even more interesting looking.
I never picked up Energon Unicron.
Me either, but it was more interesting looking. I already had one $50 Unicron at the time. I didn't really care about having a second.
But I'm going to have a $150 Unicron, so...
We all are, buddy.
So
from the pictures, the remold they did on the toy looked pretty nice.
Yeah, I love the head.
They did a pretty good job.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, so, I really think this is something I'm going to pick up. It's at some point. It's like this, the reissue Predaking. I mean, big ticket items. This reissue Predaking, and I will be picking up Rodimus Prime. Because I suck.
Well, speaking of sucking, another animated Lucky Draw prize has been announced. Can you guess who it is and what color?
What was it?
It's Oil Slick and Hot Pink.
That would be a lucky draw, Rob.
That would be the luckiest draw ever.
But no, it's just a gold-chromed, deluxe animated Megatron.
Wow.
and there's 1,000 of them to go around.
Huh.
Which means if you wanted to, you probably actually could get one.
Yeah. I don't want one.
I thought the gold chrome was not a good idea.
It's not.
Gold chrome is never a good idea. Gold chrome is like the territory of knockoff toys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, legitimate toys usually have more tasteful silver chrome.
Yeah.
Unless Henkei, in which case they're slathered in gaudy silver chrome.
So,
not that I'm like bitter or anything.
We got official pictures of Masterpiece Rodimus, which are not as good as the unofficial pictures we got. But he does. He has the retractable visor in hot rod mode. It looks like, as well as a compartment for the Matrix and a Matrix. That's pretty sweet.
Yes. Unfortunately, the flames don't.
What?
So unfortunately, the flames don't open up for the Matrix container. But you know,
yeah, it just
only so much can work.
Slides down.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like he has the little light in there like Optimus had, which I didn't expect.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the electronics are kind of pushing it.
Yeah.
It is just a simple blue LED.
Yeah, but...
I mean, it cost almost 30 whole cents.
Yeah, I know I'm the only person that really, really, really wants this, but I really, 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 really want this.
Yeah.
No, I believe Magnus on the AllSpark really, 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 really wants this too because it's a Rodimus. And also there's Proto Man X, who some of us probably remember.
Yeah.
Who's also another one of those Rodimus fanatics.
Of course. Proto Man's awesome. He likes Rodimus. I like Rodimus. We're good.
Yeah. So I don't think you're quite alone.
Yeah.
I really want it. I'm just... I'm going to have to wait till Hasbro.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not.
The Club Magazine... had a little feature with them interviewing two of the Hasbro Transformers team members, and they did officially declare that Rodimus will be coming to the U.S. without the trailer.
Yeah, I'm buying the Japanese version. Then I will buy the U.S. version.
They also said that it will have its own unique accessories, though.
Just not
specifically what. I'm sure it's going to be the rumored Target Master, though.
So, yeah.
Hey, first Masterpiece Nebulon.
I'm thinking, is that the case? Is it the case? Yes, it is the case. Excellent.
I'm thinking we're going to get another version of that base, this time with someone imitating Dick Gaudier. Or Judd Nelson, actually.
Yeah, Judd Nelson.
Judd Nelson probably could get gotten for the price, actually. Like, oh, really? Yeah, I'll come over. Okay. Oh, the fish are biting today. Dino, is that good, guys? Is that good? Did I do good? I was in Sci-Fi Channel the other day.
Okay.
Not bitter.
Any other news that I'm missing?
Let me see.
I don't think so. There's something about a book that I really don't have any information on.
I don't have any information on it either.
Transformers Vault, the complete Transformers universe. Okay.
Cybertron 3-pack set, the Galvatron, Cyclonus, and Hot Rod recolors. They're officially not coming out here at this time.
Where are they coming out?
Asian market exclusive, again.
But didn't Hasbro provide that at Auto Assembly?
Yeah, Hasbro provided, I think, 30 pieces, like, for contest prizes at Auto Assembly.
So jealous.
So it's not like they don't have access to them. There's probably just either nobody wanting to take a 3-pack right now, or they just don't think it fits into the market structure.
And probably falls into part one.
Well, considering that the Universe branding is not active in the U.S. anymore, they'd at least have to design new packaging for it to start with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like that they won't release something with old packaging. I mean, look at Ironhide and Rodimus Major from Animated. Look at Big Lots, for God's sake.
Where you still get classics packaged legends.
Yeah, and that's where it'd probably end up, at a reseller. But that's something.
Hey, I don't care. I'll buy it.
Well, yeah,
no shame, buddy.
No.
First special editions, if you recall, were originally Asian market exclusives.
Yeah.
They found their way to Hasbro Toy Shop, but eventually they did end up at Marshall's and the like.
Yeah. My tiny little hometown is actually getting a Big Lot, so it's like I'm the big city now.
You know what would be great? If, like, you guys know that that 3-pack of Scouts that went to, like, Walgreens and crap for Christmas?
Which Scouts?
It was like was the dinosaur with a knife in his head and scattershot, and I think...
Undermine,
yeah. And then, like, I think the third one was Ransack.
I don't remember that, but okay.
Yeah, it was, like, basically all three for...
I believe you, Rob.
Retail price. At some Walgreens. But it's like, what if that showed up at, like, Walgreens?
Well, then it would cost about $55.
Oh, no. They're going to be like, no, we're going to sell this at discount prices, and you'll hear, like, just collectives. No!
No! And you know how much I spent for this? A lot. So, let's go ahead and jump to this week in history. Since JD's not here, XV, you did it last week. You want to take it this week?
Sure. Well, this is actually this yesterday in history. September 21st, 2006, a very special thing happened in the Transformers.
No.
The second issue of the Kiss Players manga is published.
Yeah.
Yes. What a great day.
And the fandom died a little inside collectively.
I know every time Kiss Player comes up, I mention this, but I'm going to do it again because it's just the best thing ever. M. Cipher, Greg Sepulak of he works. He's you know, everyone knows who he is. He's a does he actually work for FunPub now?
Well, I think so. At least you know, has done writing.
We were out toy shopping one day. I was hanging out with him and. He was telling me about Kiss Players, and I accused him of being a liar.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so...
You know, we may grow on, but a certain portion of the fandom, namely those who are on LiveJournal writing creepy stories, were like, finally redemption!
Ew.
Yeah,
so...
In slightly less mentally offensive news, on September 21st, 2007... The Transformers live-action movie began its IMAX run with extra scenes not in the normal release. However, they still forgot to edit in the plot.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So,
Nice stab there, XV.
What?
That's a nice stab there, XV.
So,
well, I can't take full credit from it. I believe that came off the wiki.
Yeah. So, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll go to this week's wiki spotlight.
Speaking of the Transformers Wiki.
All right, it's time once again for the TF Wiki Spotlight. I'm here with Chris McFeely. Chris, what do you got for us?
The wiki article for today, you see, is about that littlest of bots, Wheelie. And the reason for that is a very simple one. This has been a featured article in the past. This is Generation 1 Wheelie. And it is one of the wiki's signature articles, as a matter of fact. It's often one that external sources and external observers of the wiki have held up as a great exemplifier of our attitude to chronicling and to just generally relating information. Because from top to bottom, Wheelie's article is written in rhyme. And I highlight this in particular because I was initially opposed to this. It seemed like a great little gag for whenever the wiki launched in 2006 and all we had was a quick summary of the character and a few lines covering the basics of what they did in the cartoon. But as the wiki grew and the summaries were supposed to expand to encompass everything in every cartoon that they were ever in, I really, you know, I stepped up and I said, you know, I really think that trying to wedge this into the rhyming scheme is going to get in the way of imparting information. And that's one of the wiki's cardinal rules, is that, you know, humor is all well and good, but as soon as it gets in the way of information, as soon as it obfuscates or as soon as it impedes it, that's when it's got to go. But I have to give particularly special props to editor Dr. Spangler, who some of you may know from the AllSpark, who did up Wheelie's entire Headmasters section. If anyone's ever watched Headmasters, they know Wheelie is literally in nearly every episode acting as the Kid Appeal character with Daniel and just being infinitely more annoying than he ever was in the American cartoon, but doing loads of really annoyingly important things. And I genuinely believe there was no way to get everything that he did into rhyme and not lose any information. And Dr. Spanger absolutely knocked it clean out of the park. And this article is just... Mwah. There's no getting any better than the way it is now. And it's got everything from, you know, it's got, yes, it's got all his cartoon appearances, but it's got his UK comics appearances, his appearances in the storybooks that covered his past that the cartoons never showed, and everything from the Universe comics where he died, Dreamwave, IDW, coverage of all his toys, all the usual stuff. Even the notes at the bottom of the page and the external links are written in rhyme. Everything. It's a lot of fun to read. And that is why Wheelie is this week's Wiki Spotlight.
Optimus Prime is under attack. He needs the greatest Transformers ever.
Optimus, we're here as Pretenders.
Jazz, Bumblebee, you're back. And me, Grimlock.
And the evil Starscream is here, too.
Beyond, beyond anything you've ever seen before. Transformers, Classic Pretenders.
The greats are here as Pretenders. Classic Pretender Transformers. Jazz, Bumblebee, Starscream, and Grimlock.
Me, Grimlock, is back.
Transformers.
Radio Free Cybertron, the podcast from the future that knows a lot about history.
So, thank you, JD, and Mr. Chris McFeely, my hero in life. Mr. Chris McFeely. With us, we have, of course, Lady Rec. Amy is going to talk comics. Lots and lots of stuff going on in the IDW Transformers world. Take it away, Amy.
Okay. Well, first of all, we got our solicits for December this year, or this month, just this week, whatever. We've been kind of talking about how we've only got two titles out, and we're like, is there going to be a third one or not? Well, we got our little bit of what the third one's going to be. It's going to be called Foundation, and it's the prequel comic to the Transformers 3 movie, and we'll focus on the origin of the bitter rivalry between Optimus Prime and Megatron. As if that hasn't already been crossed already, but yeah, I guess they're going to do it again. We're also going to be getting the trades of Ironhide, ongoing 7 through 12, which will be traded as International Incident, no surprise there, and the Best of Starscream.
Awesome, the Best of Starscream.
The Best of Starscream.
So, I just got, this week, I got my own personal copy of the last Stand of the Records trade. And I haven't I haven't really read any of the other IDW stuff. I've really tried, but haven't gotten into it. So I want to ask: is this really indicative of the quality of the rest of the IDW books, or are the is this like the creme de la creme? Is this the best that IDW has to offer?
Wreckers is the creme de la creme.
I really didn't like it. I read the first issue, and I was really turned off that they killed Skyquake. I mean, that really rubbed me the wrong way, because I love Skyquake. But, you know, ignoring that, it actually is really good. Especially for, I mean, it's genuinely good. But for a Transformers comic, it's really good. So,
It was above and beyond, and the stuff that they put in the trade, like the extras and all the little things that they put in there, you're not going to get that in any other trade that IDW is putting out.
And
right
the
now.
Blurb on the back is awesome. The Transformers answer to Watchmen, tformers.com. Ender wrote that, I'm assuming. So that's great.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's that little blurb.
I did not know that.
That made me happy seeing that.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. But the Last Stand of the Wreckers is the best one that they've done that they put out this year, and I don't think that's going to change. I think it's going to be the top one for a while, and I think most of that comes from the fact that the creative team that was on it just really they know their Transformers, and they're fans themselves, and it shows. They poured the love on it, and we've really enjoyed that one, so yeah. I hope that you give it a chance and you read the whole rest of it, Ryan, because it's good. So yeah. In December, we're also going to be getting ongoing 14, and the solicits hinted that two Autobots were going to fall. And so I thought, this is interesting. And the Decepticons will have their revenge. So that's all for the solicits. We also got Drift number 2 out this week.
Right. I think cripes.
What was that, XP? Well, there's holes kind of starting to break through the story here.
Starting.
My first impressions is I liked it. And the art is great. I have no complaints on that. It's still at the same standard that it was, and you know, there are definitely things, panels in there that I really, really love. The problem is that they're starting to, there's a few holes that I'm like, oh, it's just like, it's there, but it's not quite there. And the pace kind of slowed a little bit, which was good because a few people were complaining about pace being too fast. But yeah, I just barely got it, like a couple hours ago. So I haven't really had a time. I haven't had time to really review it, but when I review it, it'll go up on tformers.com. So you can just check that out tomorrow or later on this evening. I should probably have it up by then.
Awesome.
But
you know what's the biggest problem with a Drift comic?
Drift?
What's the biggest problem?
Drift. It's like the rest of it has potential to be a fun story. There's like, hey, there's this group of Transformers, cool. It's like, hey, look at these obscure guys, cool. Hey, there's like an adventure gonna go on, cool. There's Drift doing nothing.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like, okay, hey, he was Deadlock. How's he become Drift? He changes his name in the blink of an eye. That's how he becomes Drift.
Well, they do explain that, actually, in this issue. They explain it in this issue. Okay. Yeah, they do explain how he became.
So, Amy, are you hopeful for the Drift miniseries?
I am hopeful. I'm hoping that this is just the lowest point in the comic and that it'll... I'm hoping that it doesn't get worse than this. Because if it does, then I'll be like, I'm having a hard time liking this. Because right now, I really... I'm just a little worried. I'm more concerned now. And I can't say... I bought it for me, but I'm like, I don't know. I can't really say at this point. It can go either way, and it's not looking good because we've got one great issue, and then we've got one issue that I'm going, okay, I'm starting to see some things that are not so strong for the comic that are kind of popping through here. And it is in the story. And like, there's one part in here where, you know, they say, well, you know, they tell one of the guys that's kind of watching over him, Wing, that he can't let him out of his sight, but yet he's in a meeting where he's not at. So I thought, well, that's dumb. But, you know, that's not very smart. Like, hey, who's watching him right now while the dude's there in the meeting? So, anyhow. And then, of course, you know, we all know that Drift is still kind of walking Drift. We're not quite sure if he's a good guy yet or the bad guy. We know he's going to go good, but yeah, the way they kind of are spinning it, I'm not really buying it very well. So
having not read any of this, I'm assuming that Drift is like the in-your-face ninja dude that Snake Eyes was like in the early 1990s in the G.I. Joe comic when they rebranded it G.I. Joe starring Snake Eyes. Is that what it is? Or is he more like, I haven't read it, so I'm not... Or is he kind of cool, like a Johnny Cash kind of robot with a sword? Is it
really? He's like a Snake Eyes, just really unlikable. Like Snake Eyes.
You might not like him. I kind of like the guy because so far everything that they've given us, I think, has been pretty okay.
Snake Eyes fights somebody else, and the Duke goes, "Man, you are awesome."
I know.
Oh boy.
No, I mean. Because, like, what they started in Spotlight Drift, I kind of liked that he had this mysterious past, and nobody knew much about him other than the fact that he was a Decepticon, and now he's an Autobot. Or wasn't even an Autobot, he just stopped being a Decepticon. And then he joins the Autobots at that point. I liked that. I think that was fine.
I'm sorry, you can go ahead and finish.
Oh, well... you know, so this the way they're spinning it is that story that this is the story they're telling is that he was a Decepticon and now he's gone Autobot, and this is his backstory and why he does that. Now they could have said, well, it was because he believed in Megatron, but actually they actually give him a past of his own that has nothing really to do with Megatron other than the fact that. When Megatron finds out that he's done the deeds that he's done, he says, "Will you be one of us?" And then he says, "Yes." So that was the only really connection there. And I kind of liked the fact that they gave him something of his own, and it wasn't Megatron that kind of, you know, pulled him in. He was already on board for his own reasons. So, and I'm not going to say what that is because you have to read the comic.
Standing there,
that was actually the one. That was the part that I actually did like, because he has a friendship with other robots, and based on what happens to them is what causes him to go the other way. So, you know,
peer pressure?
No, actually, no. An incident happens, and I can't say much more on that because I don't want to spoil it, because I thought it was kind of... That was probably the best part of the comic. I really liked that. I liked the fact that he has his own past. He's got his own reasons for being on there, being with the Decepticons. And now, in this comic later on in it, he gets those beliefs kind of challenged. And I think they could have spun it just a little bit better. It seems to come off to me that it doesn't feel like, at least to me, that it's believable the way that they're doing it. So I'm like going, Like I said, you'll have to read my review. You'll have to read my review.
I'm already predicting how this comic's going to end.
Okay,
Drift's going to fight Unicron mano-e-mano. And Unicron's going to go, dude, you were like the most awesomest thing ever. And then explode. Without Drift doing anything, he's just going to be like smiling. And someone's going to shoot. It's going to fly right past his head and hit Unicron. He's going to explode. And they're like, Drift beat Unicron. Drift did that, guys.
Drift punched God or whatever it is.
Nothing someone else actually did to work. He just stood there and held a sword and was like, hey.
Drift punched God in the face.
Drift is essentially the Transformers Shot equivalent God. of a guy with big big muscles wearing a Ed Hardy shirt. Standing just like cocked up against something and doing this at people. That's Drift. And he's got a sword on the wall.
It occurred to me a little while ago, it's too bad Drift didn't exist back in 2005, 2006, because we totally could have had Kiss Play Drift.
Oh, God.
We still might.
Oh, no.
He would have had to come with, like, 17 or 18 Kiss players, though. Who would all be, like, you know, like, wanting to hold him and be with him, and... Yeah.
Well, except, you know, being a samurai, Drift would be the TV trope of the celibate hero. So even though he's a Kiss player, he wouldn't actually, you know...
No. He is totally not celibate. He's totally going to be banging all of the Kiss players. Especially the young ones.
He's not the typical samurai. He's the Ninja Rick.
Yeah.
You know, really, if Drift was in, like, Marvel G1, he would have pretty much been Furman's Grimlock.
Actually, if he was in Marvel G1, he would probably be dead 4 or 5 times over.
Well, it's never...
Did I kill him again?
Yeah.
I have to agree with that.
Yeah. It's like Quake.
Oh, it just being the background. Does like, there's Bumblebee over there. Drift. Hi.
All right. You guys have debunked, you know...
We've ruined comics for you.
We have deboned comics.
Yeah, you stole my thunder, darn it.
No.
Don't worry, Drift will
fall. No, okay.
It's what we do.
To get back on the... There's just a few more... I know. You guys are awesome still, though. To get back on track, writer, the Shane McCarthy, who wrote Drift, had a little thing I thought was kind of interesting on his blog. I guess there were a few accusations kind of flying around after what happened, what we got in Drift 1. And, there were some people that were accusing him of killing characters to slap fans in the face, and Simon Furman in the face as well. And I thought, Which,
that's
of course,
possible.
He denies. No, that's definitely not possible.
No. I would have killed him off earlier, I would.
Sorry. And he would have been in the next issue.
Yeah.
Well, then here's the thing, is that I know, I read some of these comments and I thought, oh, no, that's just dumb. And he actually did address them on his blog, and so I thought that was kind of cool that he did that. But,
yeah.
He denies it, and I know that he, you know, his arguments, he made some pretty good points. So, yeah. Check out Shane McCarthy's blog on that if you really want to read it. But there's images floating all over about Drift, and, you know, they've also, so there's images out there if you... You know, if you need them, come find me, PM me, whatever. I'll send them your way. And there's two more things, and then I'll be finished. Underbase, we interviewed Joanna LaFuente yesterday, and it is now up for anybody to download and listen to.
Moonbase.org.
She's the colorist artist. Yes, she's the colorist artist that did all of the work on Ironhide. And she's also done stuff on Spotlight Drift. She also worked on All Hail Megatron. There's tons of other things that she's done. She's an amazing woman. It was one great interview. You've got to go and listen. It's moonbase2.org. If you haven't started following my Twitter, which is Lady of Wreck, be a good idea to do that, because when we are about to interview, I usually tweet for questions. So if there are any listeners out there that want to ask any of the comic book artists or writers or colorists or anybody else that we review or interview for comics, that's what I'll do. I usually, 2 or 3 hours before we actually start interviewing, I will kind of put a little tweet out there saying, hey, any questions? Send them my way. So, yeah, and then certainly you ask a question. So there were a couple of them, but you know, I know I feel bad because it's like, by the time I got some of the questions, we were already halfway through the interview and we already covered a few things. So I was like, oh, darn. Anyhow, so yeah, follow my Twitter. I know that sometimes it's pretty random, but
that's what
Twitter's. Let's just say this. We've got some interviews that we are planning out and plotting out and getting in the works. So, yeah, you might want to follow my Twitter for that. So, last but certainly not least is I wanted to point this out because I just went through this week and I started reading some of the Transformers mosaics on DeviantArt. And I thought that I would just put a little thing out there. Go check it out. There's some good ones on there. So, yeah, cool. That's everything in the comics this week. Yay!
Nice.
So let's go ahead and cover the contest because we only have one more week. So
yes, and the way this show is going, it might be next week before we're done.
So if you want to win this Transformers animated Rodimus Minor, this one right here in my left hand, just follow us on Facebook. Not Facebook. What am I trying to say? Follow our YouTube
channel.
Page, channel, TF Radio Network. You can follow us on Facebook, too. It doesn't hurt. If you're not, you should. It's awesome.
You'll win free hugs.
Yeah, free hug. No. I'm not
From XV.
Yes, okay.
But not in the AllSparks wear filter sense.
Yeah, no. Not he's not hugging awesome. He's hugging you. So, if you want to win...
a Power Ranger toy.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Rodimus Minor. Just go to tfvideo.net and hit subscribe. That's it. It's really that simple. You know, I really need to put more videos out there. You know, we're making this big push to get fans, but I'm not really putting much up right now. So we're not going to be dirtying up your stream. But we will be soon. So,
so get ready.
Dirtying up your stream is like the worst way to advertise that I can think of.
I know.
That's
congratulations.
Our new catchphrase.
Yeah, I know. I'm honest. But
yeah, I agree with Rob. That should be our new video catchphrase.
Dirtying up your stream. But
yes. Talk to Mike and get him on that one.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Mike sent us a bunch of new promos, and we'll be airing some of them in the show. My favorite is Radio Free Cybertron. Why my shoulders hurt. So. Yeah.
Oh, there was another one I liked better than that. I don't think I have the email.
The Sonic Cure for the Gout.
That was good too.
That was submitted by Jason. We have a lot of good new promos coming in through the next week. So, our buddy Mike recorded that for us. So,
I'm kind of dating myself here by enjoying the reference, but the podcast from the future that knows a lot about history.
I did that for you. So, go to tfvideo.net, subscribe to our Facebook. God, I said it again. Subscribe to our YouTube network. Is it channel?
Follow
us
everywhere.
It's TF. It's tfvideo.net.
No two follows are a special saying.
Yeah, I mean, each follow is unique like a snowflake, and it is just as special.
I don't know what I'm going to post on Twitter tomorrow either.
Yeah, heck, let's just go follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. Go to facebook.com/TF Radio to become fans on Facebook. And it's TF Radio Network. I have not had enough caffeine. It's TF Radio Network on Ustream.
Maybe you should, like, YouTube. You know, make notes to check against with, you know, specific
Be doing this. I should be reading stuff. It should be like...
You need a teleprompter?
TFvideo.net. tfradio.net and youtube.com/tfradionetwork. No.
You got that TV behind you you're not using right now? You could set that up next year.
And I've got like 3 computers here that I'm not using, so.
Well, just hook up another monitor and make it into a teleprompter.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and we have a review by Paladin, our friend Paladin from Superhero Time. He reviews Generations Soundwave.
Well, Welcome to Paladin's Place, preferred provider of mechanized melee. Once again, the good people at Radio Free Cybertron have asked me to provide my expertise and comment on yet another Transformers Generations release.
You cannot stop me, Battlebots. After Rachel, you face sentries. Frenzy, eject, operation, annihilation.
Time to dance, Autobot!
Rumble, eject, operation, disorientation.
Get ready to crumble before rumble.
Ugh, these little guys are so annoying.
Hey, who are you calling little?
Soundwave is probably one of the most iconic names in Transformers lore. Everybody remembers this classic Decepticon warrior, and as such he has been revamped several times for new Transformers shows, most recently taking part in the excellent War for Cybertron video game. This Cybertronian Soundwave is the fourth and sadly, as far as we know, the final action figure in the Generations line, with a design based on a War for Cybertron appearance. Let's take a look at the new one here, shall we? First, I should note that War for Cybertron Soundwave is, like all the War for Cybertron toys, packaged in robot mode, but I'm going to start this review in vehicle mode for simplicity. Since Soundwave's most classic alternate form is now outlandishly ineffective thanks to repeated technological advancements, recent Soundwave toys have offered a variety of alternate forms for the character, and this release is no exception. Our new Soundwave's vehicle mode appears to be a Cybertronian SUV with teeth. I'm not sure why a vehicle like this needs teeth, but whatever. As Cybertronian forms go, this one's pretty okay. Functional, but not quite as impressive as some of the ones before him. Transformation between modes is fairly simple, thankfully, and the resulting robot mode is a very nice Soundwave recreation, maintaining most of the traditional elements of the character. His head, chest, and weapons are all near-perfect reincarnations of the 1984 release. Cybertronian Soundwave's guns can collapse into battery-sized capsules and be stored inside his chest for easy transportation. This is another nice throwback to the original series, but also serves to highlight this particular Soundwave's biggest flaw. He's alone. Virtually every other Soundwave toy comes with at least one mini-henchman for added play value, but this one doesn't, sadly. Perhaps some dedicated repro part organization can fix this in the future. Hint, hint, hint. But in the meantime, Soundwave is pretty acceptable by himself. Articulation is decent for a deluxe, and although the positioning of his arms and related vehicle kibble can make some poses difficult, there are additional joints in the wrist and elbows that attempt to counter the problem. Overall, I say Soundwave's a pretty good Cybertronian mold and a fairly decent way to wrap up the War for Cybertron set. Mildly recommended, if only for the novelty of completing the War for Cybertron group. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Radio Free Cybertron productions.
Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes.
Meanwhile, Sparkle...
Father! Father!
Benny, I'm proud of you, my son. You've shown me how strong you are.
Father!
Danny, listen... If anything ever happens to me, you'll have to be strong, you hear?
Mother, you'll be okay, I'm sure.
You'll have to be strong. For me, Mother, and people on Earth, you'll fight the Decepticons. Okay?
Mother!
Danny, boys can cry, but not out loud. Men don't cry, they only get stronger.
Radio Free Cybertron. Why my shoulders hurt?
We're back. Thank you, Paladin, for the review. Okay, so Twitter Theater this week was... well, Rob, why don't you tell us what it was?
Well, I kind of half-putted it this week. Didn't really feel good, so I just kind of put up an old faithful one, and that's anything from Victory.
And, what a good way to put it.
Yeah. You know, it looks so cool until you actually watch it. But, I put up the ending credits to Transformers Victory, which, if anyone hasn't watched it, you know, why not? It's amazing. Essentially, you get the human kid character from Victory, because, you know, why they keep putting human kids in these newer Transformers shows, walking with the Micromesh behind him, doing some sort of special Macarena dance thing with his arms, and they're singing about how they wonder if The one I posted was subtitled, so you get to see what they're singing about. They're wondering if Star Saber was a child who ate too much candy and wet the bed and did all sorts of naughty things. And Star Saber's like, each time. And then he's running around with a sheet on tight on like a cape, and he's got a skateboard. And the chorus is like, I can't actually repeat the chorus, not for language, but because I have no clue what they actually said. And there's subtitles. It's like, queen, queen, chickpeas. They make hummus with chickpeas. And that was the chorus. That was Twitter theory this week, guys. Just imagine what it'll be like when I'm feeling good.
Yeah, so I was watching this, and for some reason, even though I knew it was, I was thinking it was the Zone.
No, right, I think the Victory one's better than the Zone.
The Victory is better than Zone, but it's just in my mind, it was just kind of crazy and whacked out, kind of like Zone is. But
that's because it's Japanese Transformers.
But there was no crazy blue hair or anything like that, so I mean, it had to
be
Victory.
Well, not this time.
It had to be Victory.
Maybe next week.
Yeah.
My favorite Japanese ending sequence still is Headmasters with Spike and Daniel imitating the various headmasters in one corner of the room, like the helicopter dude's up there, and Daniel's on top of Spike's finger, and he spins him like a propeller, and he just takes off flying.
Yeah,
it's like, man, Japanese takes these things super serious.
Yeah, super serial. Super high.
Yeah.
Okay, so business. So anything else, guys?
Isn't that enough?
Yeah, I think it's about time to wrap it up again. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. You can become fans on Facebook, and you really need to do it. I'm not doing it for our own sake. I'm doing it for yours. Go to
you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah, for your own good.
You don't even have Facebook, XV. Go to Facebook.com.
I was talking about the Twitter, though.
Go to Facebook.com/TF Radio and become fans on Facebook. That's, you know, we don't really do the message board stuff enough. We really need to leverage that more. We kind of use our Facebook fan page as like our, I guess, our communications console or whatever you want to say. It's our outlet for it's our outlet to speak with you when we're not speaking to you in audio. Like
Rob,
this right
what
here.
Are you doing?
What is Rob doing?
Nothing.
No, Rob. Okay.
It's not a comforting answer.
And again, you can enter our contest this month by going to YouTube and searching for TF Radio Network, or just going to tfvideo.net, and
that's the easiest
way. That's the easiest way, and just
it's subscribe
the fewest to
our, number of letters to remember.
Yeah, and subscribe to our channel. You definitely want to subscribe to our channel. What is that, Rob?
Ectoplasm.
Oh,
nice.
Of course it is.
Okay, so go to tfradio.net. Check out all our shows. We have Superhero Time, which is our Super Sentai show. Fanboy Versus, which is our comic book show. New Soundwave, which is our video game show, is coming up next. We also have RFC Throwback, which never comes out, but I am recording one soon, as well as Outside the Cage, which just now returned. And the new episode is awesome, actually. If you at all are interested in MMA, mixed martial arts, or anything, check it out. Gabe is an honest-to-God journalist, and he loves MMA. So check that out. TFRadio.net. He's like a legitimate journalist.
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. I fake it. He knows. Okay. We'll see you all next week. Thank you for listening. We love you.
It just wouldn't be an RFC without Rob in the background.
That is
it wouldn't.
Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.